Dr. Bela Sood is a psychiatrist at Virginia Commonwealth University and the author of a new book, The Virginia Tech Massacre, Strategies and Challenges for Improving Mental Health Policy on Campus and Beyond. She was appointed by then-Governor Tim Kaine to study what had happened at Tech and why. In that role, she peered into the past, hoping to learn more about Sung-hui Cho, a Korean-American student who came to this country at the age of 8, settling with his parents and sister in Northern Virginia.
He was very quiet, very withdrawn, and his parents were duly worried about that and obtained some counseling for him. And the parents were very hardworking, and they made sure that he kept all his counseling sessions.
Doctors prescribed antidepressant medication, and Cho's school system took his problems into account when assessing his academic performance. He did so well academically that he was admitted to Virginia Tech, but in moving to Blacksburg, Dr. Sood says Cho lost the support system that sustained him through high school.
It sounds as though he got somewhat lost, and at a point where things came together as a perfect storm in his own mind, he began to unravel. And unfortunately, unlike the high school situation or the middle school situation, where there were people who had assisted him to sort of pull himself together, that didn't happen.
Fellow students and faculty members knew something was wrong.
The English department, particularly the chairman of the department as well as another professor, were very, very concerned because they were seeing his creative work become very dark, very threatening. And then there were behaviors in the dorm which indicated that this was a man who was kind of suspicious, difficult to understand, and particularly weird and bizarre in his behavior.
When Cho threatened to kill a fellow student, a court ordered that he be detained. Police took him to the hospital for observation.
As he did not meet criteria for being forcibly held, he was let go, but with the understanding that he would follow up with the counseling center, because the judge indeed did see elements which were of concern.
But Cho didn't go to the counseling center, and no one knew he'd been diagnosed and treated for mental illness back home.
No one connected with the parents.
There were concerns and misunderstandings about the law, what federal regulations known as HIPAA and FERPA allowed administrators to do and say.
The faculty were clearly at a loss, frustrated, angry, and bitter about the fact that they are put into positions where they notice things, and because they don't have the expertise, they're really in a dilemma. Should we talk about it? Should we report it? And if we do, what ends up happening? Not much.
On April 16, 2007, Cho killed two people at a dorm on campus, then returned to his own room to record a chilling confession.
You had 100 billion chances and ways to have avoided today, but you decided to spill my blood. You forced me into a corner and gave me only one option. The decision was yours. Now you have blood on your hands that will never wash off.
Then, armed with two handguns and plenty of ammunition, he entered Norris Hall, chained and locked all three entrances, and fatally shot 30 more people before taking his own life. Much has changed in Blacksburg and at other schools since 2007. In our next report, we'll look at what colleges and universities have done to try and prevent future tragedies. I'm Sandy Houseman. Since the shootings at Virginia Tech, a cottage industry has sprung up around campus security.
These are challenging times for colleges and universities. Crime on campus is more concerning than ever. Tragic shootings, student suicides, injuries, suspicious behaviors, concerning events are coming from every direction.
Companies like this one promote high-tech solutions to the risk of violent attacks, making it easier for students, faculty, and staff to report suspicious behavior, and allowing schools to warn and advise people of dangerous situations. Tech itself came up with more than 240 ideas for making its campus safer, according to spokesman Mark Ozarski.
Things like removing the left-sided hardware of double doors so that you couldn't chain them closed. We added locks to classrooms so that people couldn't come in, you could lock yourself in. We added message boards, Twitter, Facebook. We will use any form of communication. We have outdoor sirens, and within moments, depending on your circumstances, whether you're asleep in bed, whether you're on a bus, in a classroom, walking across our drill field, you will receive that alert probably within the first 30 to 60 seconds of it being sent.
Even smaller schools like the University of Mary Washington have elaborate systems for warning students of any serious threat. Doug Searcy is UMW's vice president for student affairs.
The system can even capture campus network computers. So if you're sitting at your computer and you have headphones on and your phone's not available, your screen can be overtaken by the university.
But the biggest change was ordered by Virginia's legislature. All public universities in this state must have a threat assessment team. At UVA, Dean of Students Alan Groves explains the composition of such committees, which meet regularly on campus.
Around the table, you had the counseling center, you had experts in school violence, you had legal counsel, you had the police, student affairs. All those people around the table now talking about cases and deciding what should be the right intervention and follow-up.
Tech, UVA, and other schools are doing more training with faculty members on how to spot worrisome behavior and reaching out to students. Tim Davis is director of UVA's Counseling and Psychological Services.
Not all students are going to come to the counseling center. We see about 9% of the student body every year. We know that we can reach all the students, but it means that we've got to be getting out of our offices and we've got to be initiating the contact with them in order to have that impact.
Virginia Tech makes a point of keeping families in the loop. Again, spokesman Mark Ozarski.
It's important for us to be partners with the students and with their families to help manage the things that they need to manage beyond homework, tests, exams, and all of that.
And at Virginia Commonwealth, contact between freshmen and administrators is mandatory. Here's Vice Provost Chuck Klink.
We use intrusive advising. First-year students have to meet with their academic advisor. So when students are having difficulties, there's someone that can direct them to resources.
Many schools have added mental health professionals and police officers. Virginia Tech became the first campus in the nation to be certified by an independent nonprofit group for emergency planning. And Virginia is the only state to require threat assessment teams at all levels of the educational system. Still, experts say serious risks remain. We'll look at the challenges ahead in our next report. I'm Sandy Houseman. Media coverage of mass shootings in this country could help to head off future attacks by making people more likely to report evolving problems. Alan Groves is Dean of Students at the University of Virginia.
There's no question that students today know that they have an obligation to come forward if they have concerns about health and safety.
But Gene Deisinger, an international expert on campus security who recently retired from Virginia Tech, says news reports could lead to other shootings.
That very small number of people among us see all the attention, and it fosters their own progression down a pathway to violence, sometimes with the intent to beat the casualty numbers of those that have come before them.
While few people suffering mental illness become violent, the numbers of students battling serious psychiatric problems at college is growing. Tim Davis is director of UVA's Counseling and Psychological Services.
They do come on the ground, sometimes with established mental health diagnoses, serious diagnoses, whether it's bipolar or history of suicide attempts or disabling anxiety. And when they come, they seek mental health support in large quantities.
Doug Searcy, vice president at the University of Mary Washington, agrees.
Students that come to college campuses are more often now on medication, between 11% and 13% of students who come to us. That hasn't been the case historically.
And this year, UCLA's annual survey of incoming freshmen found the lowest level of emotional well-being in over 30 years. Again, UVA's Tim Davis.
Stress is up, depression's up, time in extracurriculars is down, time with friends is down.
At Virginia Commonwealth University, psychiatrist Bela Sood says mental illness is likely on campus, in part because drugs and alcohol can precipitate problems, but also because psychiatric problems are widespread in our culture.
The statistics indicate that 1 in 5 individuals have some sort of mental illness which requires intervention. You are going to have a community of individuals in any campus who are going to have this, surrounded by substance abuse, surrounded by conditions which cause insomnia.
Fortunately, the head of counseling at UVA thinks students are more willing to admit problems and to seek help.
The stigma about seeking mental health services, thank goodness, is coming down. We think that is going to accentuate the demand. Our demand's up 92% in the last 11 years.
But Mary Washington's Doug Searcy says not all schools have the resources to provide ongoing support.
Many institutions have a short-term model, 6 to 12 sessions per student. We don't really limit those at this time. But nonetheless, there are times we may have to refer out to a professional within the community.
As schools look for ways to help students adjust to college life and to make their settings safer, there is one other important issue that experts debate. Virginia Tech Administrator Mark Ozarski says universities must strike a balance between strong security and an appropriate climate for learning.
We strive to create open communities so that people can exchange ideas. You overlay that with public safety, and you want to put locks on doors and create safety barriers. It's an incredible challenge.
He says Tech has spent tens of millions of dollars to make its campus more secure, but in the end, tragedy can strike anywhere for any reason. All you can do is be vigilant, prepared, and maintain a sense of community, an ongoing challenge since every year new students and faculty arrive. I'm Sandy Houseman.